Welcome back, everyone, to State of Belief Radio. I'm Welton Gaddy. Last week on this show, we heard from Rabbi Brad Hirschfield on his inspiring approach to Christmas from a Jewish perspective. Another group that diverges from the cultural calendar this time of the year. What is the season of Christmas like for American pagans? We sent producer Ray Kirstein to ask, what's that like?
Deborah Lipp became a Wiccan high priestess in 1986 and has been teaching Wicca and running pagan circles ever since. She's been published in many publications, has authored numerous books and lectures widely. Deborah, welcome to State of Belief Radio.
Thank you.
I'd like to start by asking you about the biggest misunderstanding about the pagan religion.
Well, I would say that the basic misunderstandings are either that pagan is a synonym for no faith at all, or that pagan has some relation to Satanism, neither of which is at all true. Paganism is a very diverse group of people with a lot of traditions and denominations within it, but in general, as an umbrella term, it is earth-based, rooted in pre-Christian tradition, but very modern, and like any other faith group, we are working to increase our intimate relationship with deity.
What's it like when the Christian Christmas is totally unavoidable, and what is the significance of this time of year for pagans?
Well, that's a funny question because I grew up Jewish, so I've always had that experience. The whole world is, you know, putting up trees and having Santa, and I always felt a little disconnected from that, and actually, upon becoming pagan, I learned of the pagan roots of many of the supposedly Christian traditions, decorating trees, lighting lights, Santa Claus, exchanging gifts, all of these are pre-Christian. So to a certain extent, becoming pagan allowed me to enjoy the cultural trappings of Christmas in a way I hadn't as a Jewish kid. We're all celebrating the return of the light. And that's the truth. The truth is that at the winter solstice, it's the darkest time of the year, and almost every faith tradition does something to celebrate light and the fact that light will come. Whether it's the birth of the sun god, as we do in paganism, or the birth of the Son of God, as Christians do, or the miracle of light, as Jews celebrate, or Diwali, the festival of lights, in Hinduism.
What are the other markers of the calendar that are significant?
Well, I'm Wiccan, which is the largest religious group within paganism, and so I will talk about that because pagan faiths can be so diverse that I couldn't pinpoint all of them. But in Wicca, our regular worship services, what would be the equivalent of, you know, going to church on Sunday, would be our lunar celebrations, full moons, and sometimes both full and new moons. The holidays are 8 holidays, roughly evenly spaced around the year. We call that the wheel of the year. And they are the solstices, the equinoxes, and the days in between. What we call Samhain, Halloween, is probably the most important. And of course, that's when I do the majority of my radio interviews because people are always curious about talking to Wiccans on Halloween. But after the winter solstice, the next one is called Imolc, which is February 1st. And that is, again, in the midst of darkness, looking towards the coming spring. And then there will be spring equinox, then there will be Beltane, which is May Day, summer solstice, Lammas, which is August Eve, fall equinox, Halloween, and then we're back around to winter solstice again.
Now, I understand there are many diverse pagan traditions, but what can pagan teachings, broadly speaking, offer to people of other faiths and of no faith?
You know, my late husband wrote an essay that is still widely distributed called What Do Neo-Pagans Believe? And it's really beautiful at expressing the things that we have in common. We are pluralistic. That is one of our key principles of just about every pagan, which is to say that we welcome other faiths. We are not singular in our point of view. We are polytheistic. Almost every pagan worships many gods. But it also means that we celebrate your choices to worship or not worship as you choose, and that is at the heart of modern pagan pluralism. We celebrate the powers and the authority of both and all gender. Women are very empowered within almost every pagan tradition. We are leaders, and we are teachers, and we have every opportunity is not limited by gender. We tend to be body positive and to celebrate the physical and to celebrate the earthy side of human experience. So we tend to look upon things like pleasure, sex, eating, partying, celebration as more likely to be sacred than to be sinful. And we tend to emphasize the sacred over the sinful. Not to say there's nothing that is sinful, but our emphasis is on what is positive and joyful about being alive rather than what you should avoid.
It strikes me that we've noticed other faith groups recently picking up on some of these ancient ideas in recent years.
Yeah, I've actually seen other faith groups pick up things that I know started in modern pagan traditions, but I'm not grumbling about that. And honestly, maybe the people who talk about an age of Aquarius, a new age of being, are right, and these ideas are just going to go around. Paganism is self-consciously modern. There are Reconstructionist traditions within the pagan movement, traditions that make an effort to use historical research to restore practice as it was in ancient times. For instance, there are Reconstructionist Hellenists who are practicing Greek tradition as it was before the time of Homer. But for the most part, we are very aware that these are modern times and we are modern people. We embrace science as completely consistent and consonant with religion. They are not ever in conflict in our view. This kind of modernism, I think, is really important for people of all faiths if faith itself is to survive.
Deborah, if there's listeners that would like to find out more about the pagan traditions, would you talk about your books for a minute?
Well, I invite anybody to look at my website, deborahlipp.com. I've written a number of books. A very popular one called Elements of Ritual talks about how Wiccans perform ceremony. I have a memoir called Merry Meet Again that is coming out very soon in February. So if you want to read all about my life, that'll be available real soon. Or look at my website, and not only do I have my own books available, but I have recommended reading for people who are interested in learning more about paganism in general.
I've been speaking with Deborah Lipp, a Wiccan high priestess, author, and lecturer on pagan topics. Deborah, Happy New Year, and thank you so much for being with us today on State of Belief Radio.
Happy New Year to you, and thank you so much for having me.
Well, that's all the time we have for this week's show. Please visit us online at stateofbelief.com to find out more about the show, hear extended interviews, read transcripts, and sign up for our podcasts. You can learn about the new State of Belief app for iPhone and Android devices so you can listen to us anytime, anywhere. Share your thoughts on what you've heard on Facebook and Twitter. Contact information is available at stateofbelief.com, including the toll-free listener line, 800-856-0277. And as always, we encourage you to tell others about the show and encourage them to listen to join conversations about what we're talking about here. State of Belief Radio is a production of Interfaith Alliance. Please become a member today at interfaithalliance.org. We need you. And join us next week for more stories from the intersection of religion, government, and politics. Until then, you all take care of each other. I'm Welton Gaddy. That's State of Belief. The only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. You see what he was.